and he has enlightened my soul every time I heard him. And John, his name is John Banks, and he's going to give us a little bit on relationship, something I dearly need. Amen. Come on up, John.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Well, y'all can do better than that. I came all the way from Chicago. Y'all can do better than that. Welcome, my brother, to the Lone Star State. Lone Star State. Yeah. Now, I'm really grateful to be here. I want to thank Carl for inviting me, and I was here last year, and hopefully I can be here every year and watch God do exactly what he always do, to take a little and turn it into a lot. I'm real grateful for that. I'm Minister Johnny Banks. I'm Johnny B. I'm great-grandfather. I'm grandfather. I'm daddy. I'm a whole lot of stuff. You know, you'll be amazed that once you stop trying to kill yourself with alcohol and drugs,
right,
a lot of stuff comes into your life. A lot of it you wasn't even depending on or even thinking about. Never in my wildest dreams did I think there would be four generations of me on this earth. I just didn't think I'd live that long because I wasn't trying to live that long. I was trying to live every day to its fullest, and whatever he gave me, I took it. I'm going to speak in two parts. I just want to tell you guys why I qualify to be here. I qualify to be here because of my relationship with crack. I loved it, and it loved me back. I was very committed to crack. It was very committed to killing me. And I took that relationship, and I never wanted to let it go. You know, it's amazing how, when you look back over your life, how you can always say you've been blessed. But when you look back over that life, sometimes you have to stop and testify about just how good God is. Because you start to see some stuff that you probably didn't see before.
Yes.
You know, and one of the things that I've come to realize is that there was nothing wrong with my mother.
All right.
You know, I blamed her for everything. Even though she did everything she could to give me everything I wanted. You know, and that was one of those relationships where as long as I was getting what I wanted, I was happy. And the minute I was told no, or we didn't have it, or you can't do that, then I rebelled. And subsequently, those days just become our number, where my mother just simply said, you know, you need to leave. No, enough is enough. I was the baby of the family, and had a lot of good times. I grew up in the state of Mississippi. I'm a transplant in Chicago from the state of Mississippi, a place that I still love to this day and try to go back as often as I possibly can. And I can remember, you know, they talk about in the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous, I've been clean almost 24 years. The day I stopped using, I haven't looked back. The day I stopped using, my life has gotten exponentially better, and I'm talking about quick. It wasn't a slow process. My life got better real quick.
Amen.
Once I put that stuff down and started to look at myself and take a really good look at myself. And one of the things Anthony and I, we've been talking about a lot since we, since I've been down here, is trying to love yourself.
Come on.
Yeah.
You can take yourself out just with self-hate.
Yes, sir.
You can take yourself out with always judging yourself way worse than everybody else. You all may not know this, but there's nothing I can do about the color of my skin.
Yes, sir.
I hated the fact I was just this dark. It just didn't fit the image of myself. Because I wanted to be like my friends, light-skinned with fair hair. But I was dark-skinned with nappy hair. And probably if I'd had the money Michael Jackson had, I probably would have bleached myself. And changed the texture of my hair because I just didn't like me. And the reason now that I can look back and say I didn't like me because I always tried to fit in. I was one of those people. If I could just fit in, if I could just make people like me, if I could just say people say I was okay, if I could just get the right girlfriend, if I could just had the right clothes, if I just wasn't me. So I wound up spending a lot of time not liking myself. And I always wanted to be, some of you all may identify with this, I always wanted to be somebody else. You know, always wanted to be something outside of myself. And I carried that for years. So we're talking about having relationships. One of the hardest relationships I've had to deal with in my 55 years on earth is the one with myself. Liking myself. I disliked myself so much I dropped out of high school. Disliked myself so much just left home. Just left. Tell my mama I ain't putting up with this no more. I'm 13 years old. Age of 13, a father. Got a young lady pregnant. We had a child. 13 years old. 13 years old carrying pistols and selling dope on the streets of Chicago. Half of what they say about Chicago, you all, is true. The other half is not. There's nothing wrong with the city. There's something wrong with some of the people in it. So most of my life, I spent a lot of time trying not to be me. Only when I got in trouble did I want to be me. But outside of that, none of the time I wanted to spend being myself. I am an avid Bible reader. I want to say that one more time for everybody to really catch this. I'm an avid Bible reader. I believe that everybody that reads the Bible, you should find yourself in there one day. Because you are a character in this book. You might not believe it, but start reading. You're going to say, are they talking about me? Anybody ever went to church and the man was preaching and you said to yourself, is he talking to me? Church full of people and you wondering, is he talking to you? The same thing will happen if you pick up the scripture and you just start reading. You say, wow. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read about myself. And I'm going to talk about the relationship that I found in the Bible dealing with me. If you guys kind of be patient with me for a minute, I'll find it. What I'm going to read from is the 20th chapter of the book of Numbers. And I'm going to start at verse 2. And I'm going to read a lot more than what I need. But I have to set the text up if you don't mind. The word of the Lord says, and there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. And the people chode with him and spake, saying, would God that we have died when our brethren died before the Lord? And why have you brought us up, the congregation of the Lord, into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore we have made us come out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. Somebody say, water to drink. Okay. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. God showed up. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying this, take your rod and gather the assembly together, thou and your brother Aaron, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall bring, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. God told Moses, pull all the congregation together, bring them together, speak to the rock, and water will come forth for them to drink. It says, and Moses took the rod before the Lord as God had commanded him. But Moses. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rod, he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Then God showed up again, and he spoke to Moses, saying, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Let me just talk to you for a few minutes about myself and in a relationship way from the topic, the message. The message. I grew up as a man in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. My clean date is February 20th. And from that day to this day, I have not used any mood or mind-altering chemicals. Yeah. Growing up or being around the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, I learned a lot. As a matter of fact, the man that I was born to be emerged. He started to show up. But they asked me to do something. When I got there, they said, listen, your primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Let me say that one more time. Your primary purpose for being here is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. It is not your purpose to be here and get into a lot of foolishness with people. You didn't come here to find a wife. You didn't come here to get a girlfriend. You didn't come here to get your job back. You didn't come here but to nothing to get this message. Okay, y'all with me? Okay, walk with me for a minute. So now, I took years. I'm an avid studier of recovering literature. And I read my books daily. I've been doing this stuff over 20 years. The basic text, Just for the Day Meditation, Living Clean, The Journey Continues. It works how and why, all that stuff. I read that stuff on a regular. Somebody called me and said, Minister Banks, I got a problem. Now this, y'all may, this, I hope I bless somebody here. When people out in the world call me and they say, Minister Banks, I got a problem. Even when church folks call me, you know what I do? I go pick up the basic text. Because I know they're in there. And I know the problem is in there. And I just read it, I say, let me call you back. And they think I'm going to give them something out of the Bible. No, I give them something out of a recovering literature. And they said, I never looked at it like that. I said, I know. This is for special people with a special problem. And it's funny how, if I can regress a little, before I got clean, I met a lady. She was running a community organization. They was doing substance abuse prevention. I'll never forget this. And the lady interviewed me for the job. I got the job. So I'm working in schools, smoking crack by day, teaching kids not to say no to drugs. I mean, smoking crack by night, telling the kids to say no to drugs by day. This was my occupation. In the neighborhood grocery store one day, and a little boy cop walks in with his mama. He said, Mama, there go the dope man. Mama puts the little boy behind her and was like, who? He said, him. I said, no. I work at the school. And I deal with them on substance abuse prevention and how not to get high and stuff like that. And the lady kept her kid behind her like, yeah, I know. Yeah, right. That was one of those defining moments that we have, one of those spiritual awakenings. I knew I had to stop this foolishness. I couldn't get high at night and try to help these kids in the daytime. It just won't work. It just won't work. Why did I make that statement? Because I wanted everybody here to understand. If you're a recovering person and your life is not immersed in recovery, you still might get high.
Right.
This stuff is real. This stuff, the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and the stuff that's embodied in that literature is designed to help you not only save your life, but change your life.
Good work.
And I read that stuff and I felt like I was reading about myself. Anybody here ever suffered from something called obsession?
Yeah. All right, man. Everybody.
Fixed idea. Once I get it, I ain't gonna stop. The compulsion. One is too many. Thousand is never enough. But that really wasn't my problem. My problem was the core of this disease. My total self-centeredness. That's why the relationship with myself was so difficult, because I only thought of myself and never thought about my children. I never thought about my wife. I never thought about my brothers. I never thought about my sisters. I never thought about the job. I never thought about anybody but me. And that was my problem. That's where the disease had me in the grip, and it took me places I didn't want to go. I've done things that I would even stand here and mention to people, because the disease of addiction is so cunning, baffling, and powerful that it will have you in places doing stuff and being around things that you would never want to be around. But it was the core, the self-centeredness, hooray for me, I ain't thinking about you. And that's how I define it. I cheer for myself, you don't matter. I can remember on Christmas, the children waiting on me to bring the gifts. I think it finally thought about the kids after about 8 hours of being in the bathroom. I don't know about y'all, I smoked that stuff in the bathroom. I figured it was safe, couldn't nobody see me. But I lived in a house full of people, which means nobody used the bathroom. So I'm standing there for hours. And when I finally got those children their gifts, it was the 26th. I went in the bathroom on the 24th. Caught in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness. Caught in the grip. Couldn't even recognize who I was after a while. But if you take the scripture I just read, and if I applied it to my own life, I would say, man, I'm part of the assembly that Moses brought together. Let me read something to you. It says right here in the Bible, it talks about that what I read, it resembles a time when Israel was a bunch of complainers. Anybody ever complain a lot? Well, I'm one of those people complain about everything. I'm getting high with somebody. You're smoking too much, but I'm smoking it all.
Drinking too much.
You're drinking too much. I'm drinking it all. I blamed and complained. Some of us blame and we still are complaining to this day. There's nothing like having a perfect wife, but you keep complaining. There's nothing like having a perfect job, but you keep complaining. There's nothing like having perfect situations in your life. You keep complaining. Most of the time I'm complaining because I forgot where I came from. I forgot that I came out the crack house. I forgot that I came out the cotton fields of Mississippi. I forgot that I came out of poverty and depression. I forgot those things.
Right.
And I complain that it ain't good enough because I forgot where I came from.
Right.
Sometimes I think about these same people that forgot they came from under Pharaoh's rule. That forgot they was making bricks with no straw.
Right.
Y'all don't hear me. We complain because we forget where we came from. I forgot. And in the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous, it says there's some things that you forget. You forgot how to live. You forgot social graces. You forgot how to work. You forgot how to play. Hear these same people with these forgetful mindsets. Already didn't think about it. If you go into the book of Exodus in the 17th chapter, you will find that God had already already given Moses the power to speak to the rock.
Amen.
He had brought water forth already. And he's complaining people show up again because they run out of water. You ever ran out of something and won't do nothing about it? Well, you know, a crackhead like me, I used to do this kind of stuff. I got $10. I need some gas. I want to get high. I need some gas. I want to get high. I need some gas. I got high. Then I go home and complain to my wife that I ran out of gas. And she would just look at me, Mother Moses, you know what she would say? Just look at me. Wouldn't even say a whole lot. I'm going to leave you. And she left. Let's go a little further. Let me try to exegete this in the time that I have. Now we find ourselves struggling with people that complain. In my relationship with myself and other people, one of the things I don't do anymore, I just don't complain. The program of Narcotics Anonymous gave me some brand new words to use. One of them was called, I'm powerless.
Right.
That stops all the complaining right there.
Right.
I'm powerless. I ain't make nothing. I can't change nothing. Can't fix nothing. Can't manage nothing. Can't control nothing. Why complain? Ain't no sense in me tripping. If the dogs have cats, ain't no sense in me tripping about that. What am I going to say? Stop complaining. I'm so grateful. I remember as a little boy, in my family, I was the baby. So in my family, I always had different clothes. It just was never new. Anybody catch that? Because I had all these brothers, right? And every time they grew out of something, it became mine. So everything was either passed down or handed over to me. And so I resented it. And I can remember never liking that kind of stuff. Used to wear these black and white rock and roll shoes. You couldn't cut them up. You couldn't wear them out. And I would just tell myself, one day, it's not going to be like this. But I complained all the way through. And if we go a little further, you'll find that some strange things happen in this text. But I got to ask a question before I go any further. Can anybody here remember the day that the rock cried for you? If Moses hit the rock when he was asked to speak to the rock. Anybody here remember hitting that rock? And it had you popping sweat everywhere. Had your eyes watering. Looking on the floor for stuff. Some of y'all might. Y'all gonna sit there and act brand new on me, huh? Well, I take that scripture and I apply it to that behavior. I was smoking that crack, and that crack was crying. And the perspiration that was coming out of me. And if you're a Bible reader, and get your concordance, and you'll see the word spirit. And the spirit will have a bunch of different definitions that it uses. And one day you may see that the spirit is the wind.
Right.
Another time you may see that the spirit is the water.
Right.
Right here, there was the spirit of God had water coming out the rock.
Right.
So that perspiration was coming out of me was different than what I thought. I looked at it one way from the natural, but in the spirit, God's spirit was coming out of me. I just didn't know what was happening. God was begging me not to kill myself because he had a message for me. And if I just could get myself together, he would fashion a message where people could understand that it was him and it was not me. But sometimes, when I ain't complaining, I'm blaming people. God, 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 why have you forsaken me? God, God, God. God, why didn't you let the police pass while I was driving in this stolen car? I didn't blame myself for stealing the car. I blame God because he had the police to intersect my path. God, God, God. You knew I wanted to do better. Why wouldn't you help me? And if I ain't blaming, then I'm competing. And if I'm not competing, I'm comparing. Anybody ever compared themselves to somebody who was less fortunate than you, but you looked at them like they was on an equal level with you? Y'all don't hear me, do you? How is it that I'm comparing myself to somebody who don't have anything that my parents have provided me? And I wind up making a comparison and it doesn't make any sense. And I look back years later. So if we're talking about relationships, anybody here ever been in a bad relationship? Besides me. Well, if you think about relationships, now you have to ask the question. I never thought about it till somebody posed the question to me. How is it that you can go to school and learn how to fix a car? You can learn how to be a carpenter and construct a house. You can learn how to farm and till soil and put in seeds and all this stuff. But the one thing we don't learn is how to have a relationship. It's on-the-job training. And for some of us, it almost killed us. Because you cannot be on-the-job training when it comes to something as important as your own life. As important who to be with, who you may have children with. But it was on the job training. And I got some strange training on the job. Something like these people that I was reading about in this assembly. If she don't act right, slap in the mouth. She should do what you say. Her money is your money. I feel like I'm out here by myself. I asked my brother, I say, well, how am I supposed to love her? He say, just bone her to your owner. This was my training. Can you imagine living your life out of that training, man? And we find ourselves struggling because if I could go back to the scripture. In this assembly that Moses brought together, I want to remind everybody, even though you got clean and you changed, the crowd didn't.
Yeah.
Even though you got clean and you changed, the crowd didn't change. So why would God pull you out of the crowd? Because his word said he will raise somebody up from the midst. And your job will be to take the message back to those same people. Oh my, what a difficult task. You're talking about better be in touch with yourself. Because these same people will get you high before you can get them clean. These same people that you was locked up with. Now looking at you talking about, Johnny, what, you done turned square? Are you talking that Jesus stuff, huh? Are you one of them? No, G, I'm still straight, but here I go. Here I go. Now I done put the word down to get back with the crowd. I done put my meetings and my recovery down to get back with G and them, because they finna go hit another lick. God will forgive me. He might not. He might not. Let's go a little further. God's problem with the congregation or with the assembly was they never gave God any credit for being God.
You're right.
in our lives of recovery and getting ourselves back together, we need to give man credit for what man does. Fine. Give God the glory for what he's doing. He's done some stuff. And there's nothing like having this testimony, but you don't want to tell nobody. There's nothing like having these marvelous things that have happened in your life and you won't tell nobody.
Right.
Something wrong with that picture.
Right.
People say, Minister Banks, every time I see you, you dress nice, you got a suit on. I say, you don't know my story.
Yeah, that's right.
You wouldn't even understand what it's like to walk across the street and people lock the door. I walk past somebody's car, they do this. I don't know what they was looking at, but I guarantee you it was enough to make them lock the door. I don't know if you know what it's like to go by your friend's house and their mother say, tell them to stay outside. People don't even want you in their environment anymore. Don't want you in their surroundings anymore. Don't even want you around their family anymore. Tell that boy to stay outside. So I understand that we struggle, but it's just like these people in this assembly. We got this testimony, you all, and we won't tell nobody.
Right. Yeah.
We won't tell nobody where we come from. Well, God has been good to me.
Amen.
Let me say that one more time.
Yes, sir.
God has been good to me. I'm going to say that one more time. God has been very, 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 very good to me. I mean, hold on, I'm stuck. Let me say it one more time. God, if you got out that crack house, God has been good to you. If you ain't drinking alcohol no more, God has been good to you. If you wake up in the morning and you ain't got to take a smoke or a blow, God has been good to you. See, some of y'all may remember what it was like when you was running up in them stores, stealing them people's meat, had all that blood running down your pants. See, some of y'all forgot. You know, we was cattle rustlers, all kind of stuff. But I ain't forgot. I have not forgot, because God has been good to me. And I'm one of the ones in the assembly that have no problem telling people that God has been good to me. I've been all over the world. God has been good to me. I started a company with me and another lady, and in 10 years we have 90 employees. God has been good to me. I tell all my friends I lived a charm life, because God has been good to me. People can say what they want to say about Chicago, but I live down the street from President Obama. God has been good to me. I know he's real, and I know he's alive, and I know he works if you will allow him to have his way with you. Many times we struggle because we just won't give God what God wants. And that's just a little bit of praise and a little bit of worship. That's all he requires to keep doing for you what I couldn't do. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. People always talk about this stuff about material things don't mean nothing. Take that to somebody else. I don't believe that. Ain't nothing wrong with having a nice car and a nice house and a nice bank account. Ain't nothing wrong with none of that stuff. I don't believe, don't let nobody tell you material stuff don't mean nothing. They just ain't got it. I will say this, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. It was. So let me just stop and pause for station identification. I dropped out of school. The younger of my three children all have master's degrees. God has been good to me. My oldest three children are all professionals. Two of them are cops. And my oldest child has been on a job since she graduated from high school. God has been good to me. I took them to meetings with me, and everywhere I went, I didn't know what was going on, but the same principles that is embodied in my life is in theirs. God has been good to me. I don't go to bed wondering where my children at. They somewhere doing what they supposed to be doing. Because God has been good to me. So when we start talking about this whole process, this is the only place I know in the country, Overcomers, where I can come in and talk about my recovery and how good God is. I've been everywhere. And I can come here and I can testify. Testify about how good God is. As a little bitty boy, I was the victim of pedophilia. Continuously taken advantage of by an adult family member. But God has been good to me. That incident, when it seemed like it would ruin my life, strengthened my life. And now I understand in a strange sort of way why people act the way they do sometimes. They've been hurt. They've been wounded, and those wounds have not healed. But God lifted me up and he said, now son, I need you to go out. And even though you wounded, I need you to be a healer. I need you to help somebody and take the message wherever it may go. Because many of us are sitting in here. We thus are wounded healers. That's all we are. We've been pierced in our sides. We've been pierced in our hearts. Our heads have been damaged. And yet we still carry this message. God has been good to me. And if you don't believe it, why don't you look at somebody close to you and tell them, God has been good to me. He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. He's been better to me than I ever could be to myself. But I'm just excited. Because I wonder, do you remember the day that you stopped crying because the rock stopped crying? Do you remember the day when you stopped crying because the rock stopped crying? Do you remember the day when you no longer needed to wake up to wake up? Do you remember the day when all of a sudden your house was void of alcohol bottles? Do you remember the day when you was able to put cigarettes down? Do you remember the day when the rock stopped crying for you? Do you remember the day? And I encourage everybody in here, never forget the day that God came and delivered you from the evil of alcohol and drugs. Some of us may have been delivered. Some of us may have been saved from ever using it. But I was rescued. God had to come get me and get me out of that situation because I wasn't leaving. I was not leaving. I remember my wife used to always ask me, say, where do you be at for so long? I would smoke a little time because I had a little money. But it took me 2 days to get myself together. Anybody ever told a lie where it had to take you a while to get it together? Well, I wasn't gone because I was using. I was trying to figure out what's the next good lie to tell. How could I? Did I tell her last week I got robbed? I didn't know what story to tell anymore. Well, let me give you an example. I remember my mother cooking a cake. Leave the cake on the table. She'd look at all of her sons. Nobody touched the cake. Okay, mama. Everybody leave the house. I'm looking at the cake. My brother's telling me don't bother the cake. I ain't gonna bother that cake. They going outside. I didn't really bother the cake. I just took a little icing off the cake. And it was good. And I figured if I could take a little bit more, it was good. And after a while, I needed a knife to kind of spread it back out. My mother would come home and say, been in my cake? It was them. But it never was me. God is asking us. I'm not going to say you, us. Me too. Stop lying. Tell the truth. Because as a messenger, part of your responsibility is to rightfully divide the truth.
Right.
And the only way you can do that is to pick up his word.
That's right.
You cannot divide the word of God into the truth of God if you don't like the word of God. The Bible says that in the beginning was the word.
Yes.
Well, if you're going to start anything, you start it with the word.
Yes.
If you meet somebody you like today, go get you a Bible and let's read the word.
Yes.
You'll find out if we need to be together. Use God's word.
Yes, amen.
Did the rock stop crying?
Yeah.
Well, let me give you a strange twist as I get ready to go to my seat. The book of John. I got to read this. Let me just peruse over to John right quick so I don't fumble over these words. I want to read these words. Because y'all going to catch this one. You'll catch this one. It's easy. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
In the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
The Word was with God. And the Word was God.
Amen.
And then if you go a little further, we find out in the New Testament, as Jesus being the embodiment of the Word.
Right.
Yes. That means that in the beginning, Jesus was with God.
Yes.
And if that makes sense to you, let's go back to this text. Uh-huh. The rock was Jesus. The water was his spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
To replenish, restore, and keep us alive. If you go into the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous, the 11th step says, we humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. And if you go down a little further, it'll say that humility is much a part of staying clean as food and water is staying alive. Jesus is the giver of life.
Yes.
And he presents it to us in his spirit. And sometimes it flows like water. And the word said that we were replanted like a stream. Y'all don't hear me.
Yes, sir.
Y'all don't hear me.
Yes, sir.
It's our responsibility.
Yeah.
Overcomers, recovering people, church folks. We all them hatch today.
Right.
It's our responsibility to connect with the water. To connect with the Spirit. To connect with Jesus. Because the Bible says you cannot get to the Father unless you come through the Son. And you cannot get to the Son if you're still stuck deep in sin. And many of us struggle with the fact that we think we can do wrong and make right happen. Dr. King says, it's called the 13th Amendment. Thou shalt not get caught. As long as I didn't get caught, it's all right. But guess what? When you're dealing with something that's spiritual and moral, it's not getting caught by man that's the problem. It's breaking your covenant relationship with God that's the problem. Give you a break. God will forgive you, but you still got to deal with the consequences of the sin. You still got to deal with it. To this day, I still struggle. I have a daughter. I spoke about my children, but I didn't speak about a daughter that I had while I was married. That I still to this day don't know how to have a relationship with her. Every time she see me, she'll simply say, Dad, you got some money. I say to her, I don't want to have that kind of relationship with you. Then one of my friends says, fool, if that's the only relationship you can have it.
That's right.
If that's the only relationship you have is to giving to others, why not?
Right.
She's still your child.
Amen.
You may have done a lot for her on the way, but she's still your child.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm in this crowd and I got my children. They're part of this assembly that I got. They ain't feeling that. That ain't what they want to hear. You got another child? Daddy, I thought she was a minister. You know how people say when you become part of the God's elect, they always drop that on you. I thought you was a deacon. Well, I thought you was a preacher. I say, yeah, but I was a fool too. I say, so you're looking at a person that got their life together, but before that I was a train wreck. And part of that wreck was having illegitimate children. Part of that wreck was cheating on my wife. Part of that wreck was dropping out of school. Part of that wreck was not caring. Part of that wreck was getting divorced. Part of that wreck was just watching my mother pass away and not engaging my mother the way I should have. That was a train wreck. But God saw fit to pull me out of that and place my feet where he could use me. And today I'm not ashamed. I'm so grateful to be part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I ain't ashamed. I'm not ashamed anymore to tell you that God is good. I'm not ashamed to tell you that sin still haunts me. I'm praying regularly. Help me, Lord. Because, you know, I got this disease of addiction. And I still get into stuff that either I don't want to stop or I can't stop.
That's right.
The people in the fellowship say stuff like, man, you've been clean 24 years. Get over it. Then the church folks say it's going to be all right. I'm hurting. But the Spirit of the Lord shows up. And I still find myself on my knees. I still find myself taking walks so I can get some quiet time to try to get myself back where I need to be. So not only can I try to live right, because it's living right is hard, but it's even harder when you don't try. Yeah, living right is hard. Yeah, living trying to live by a set of commandments, a set of principles. It's hard. The only principle I know before I got clean was at the school. I didn't know there was nothing. I didn't know you live by principles or moral code of conduct. I didn't know that stuff. And when I got into Narcotics Anonymous, I got some principles. I got some principles. I got something called acceptance. I got an open mind. I got a little faith. I got to a step where I did an inventory and I wrote all about myself. I got to a step where I admitted to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. I got to a step where I started to deal with my character. I always had been a character. I never knew I had one. So I started dealing with my character. And I found out that I had some flaws in my character. I found out that I also had some strengths in my character along with these flaws. And I stopped focusing on the flaws and I started focusing on the strength. Then I found out that I had some character problems, that it was like crack gone wild called shortcomings. And I had to work diligently on dealing with that stuff. Then I found out when I started working the 8th step and writing it down, and I got to the 9th step, I had to put myself on the top of the list.
Amen.
How can you live and you don't even know? Let me give you a good example. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. I want y'all to catch this now. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. Let me forgive myself before I try to forgive you. That's why I go on the top of the list. So I put myself on the top of the list. And I make some amends to myself. Go back and get your GED.
Yeah, right.
Go back and apologize to your children.
Yeah, right.
Go back and ask your wife for forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
Don't go in them stores and steal nothing else.
Right.
I couldn't make amends to Walgreens for all the stuff I stole. Just don't go back. It's just that simple. Leave them people's stuff alone.
Right.
Then I got to a point where I could deal with the wreckage of my present day affairs.
Yes.
But I got to this 11th step. My God, my God. And this is where I believe the juncture with Jesus showed up for me. I've been a church boy all my life, but I got to a step that says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it out.
Amen.
The power. And strange things started to happen when I started seeking through prayer and meditation.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, some of us, you know, we yellow page people. We were looking for God in the yellow pages.
Yeah.
He ain't there.
No.
You got to do something called look for God, but you got to do it through prayer and meditation.
Yes. Right.
Let me be still long enough to see if He speaks back to me.
Yes.
Meditate on His word. I didn't know what to meditate on. Somebody said, get you a Bible. Find you a scripture, just one. And you, when you pray, you meditate on that. And see what God revealed Himself to you. Y'all don't hear me, do you? And then I woke up one day and I heard somebody saying, after having had a spiritual awakening, we tried to carry this message. What's this message? This message is that He died.
Come on.
He rose.
Come on.
He coming back again.
Yeah.
That's the message. I got an underlying message that says an addict. Any addict can lose the desire to use and find a new way to live.
Yeah.
I got that message. I got my second message, which prepared me for He died.
Yes.
He rose.
Yeah.
He coming back again.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, when Grandma said, "Boy, I bleed the blood of Jesus over you," it finally made sense.
Made sense.
I knew what she was talking about. I knew and I understood. I understood when I go to the meetings that new people are important. Maybe I might be the one with their message. Because
yes.
We can't hear everybody. If you love your pastor today, it's because you heard his message.
Yes.
It's something about the way he delivers it.
Yeah.
That it comes from your, from his spirit to yours, but by God.
Yes.
Well, when we go into meetings, everybody can't hear you.
Right.
Some people only like you because of the way you, they don't like you because of the way you sound.
That's right.
So be it, because we, as I said earlier, because you changed, don't mean the crowd didn't. Some of that crowd is right up in them Narcotics Anonymous meetings. They're in them AA meetings. Well, no matter what they is, my commitment, just like your commitment should be, is to carry the message to the Christian who don't know they're Christian yet, or to the addict who still suffers. Thank you.